Hello, folks. I'm Nanette Weiser, and I am delighted to have the editor and creative director of St. Pete Life magazine, Nick Steele, in studio, our dear friend and regular podcaster. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you.
Well, we went to a big party last month, and that was the best of the best. And now I see there's a newsletter that comes out, St. Pete Life Insider. And this magazine is gorgeous. We're going to have the cover on the cover, but tell us a little bit about St. Pete Life Style and Design.
So it's our annual style and design issue, and it's a little bit of everything. We think about style and design as really being not about fashion or personal style so much, but about how we create with food, how we create with home design, how we create with our own energy. I mean, and we have an influencer who I love on the cover, Alexia Gonzalez from the Gala Life. She's at a property by one of our wonderful contractors in the area, Doug King. And we had a blast going out. It was hot as heck, but we had a blast going out and doing that shoot and prancing around the pool. I've been in a cast, so I almost rolled off the dock into the water, but it was a fun day.
Bloopers from St. Pete Life magazine.
Exactly.
You know, you write something in your wonderful welcome letter. I just want to read this. Good design doesn't just happen. It's crafted with vision, whether it's a mural that tells a community story, a home that reflects its owner's personality, or a meal full of, this is the best part, alchemy and unexpected flavors. I think that sums up what you as editor and creative director have brought to this magazine.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
So let's take a look. Listeners, we're going to give you a look at St. Pete Life magazine from the editor's point of view. So which story do you want to start with?
Well, you know, the alchemy and talking about food and the way we were just talking about it, we were really honored to sit down with the chef, Chef Ben Stock, over at Il Ritorno, and have him take me through not only the menu and his approach to crafting what he does at that restaurant, which recently was recognized by the Michelin.
That's a big deal, folks. That's a really big deal.
It is. But he also really talked us through his life, which I think the thing about any experience that we can have out in the world is that it's only enhanced when we understand the players behind and you get that inside look at their lives and how they got to where they are. I mean, he's so successful. They've had the restaurant, I think, for 13 years now. They're one of the most popular in St. Pete. And, in fact, in the whole Tampa Bay area. And he's a really interesting guy because he spent the first half of his life, his family was Orthodox Jew. And so he really didn't have culinary experiences or food experiences the early part of his life. It wasn't till he started working in a restaurant as a teenager and he became fascinated with what was going on in the kitchen that his love of food evolved. And then he was like a racehorse. Once he took off, he told his parents, I gotta be me and I'm going to go to culinary school and I'm going to eat all kinds of foods. I got to get off, you know, this restricted diet. And he started working with Wolfgang Puck and all these amazing people, and he learned at the hands of masters, and he always wanted to bring that back to St. Pete, and he has in the most beautiful way. So it was really an honor, and it kicks off a series we're calling our Chef's Tables, where we're going to sit down each issue, instead of trying to piecemeal, no pun intended, restaurant coverage together. We want this insider experience for our readers. We want them to meet the chefs and understand their approach. And one of the things I love about him is he says, anyone can give you a meal, but not everyone can give you an experience. And that's what he does with these incredible flavors and these, you know, they focus on whatever is available and freshest in the season to create their dishes. It's artwork, you know, like if you look at some of the photos, it almost has that Art Nouveau quality to it. But it's also incredible. The mouth taste of all these things was like a burst of flavor that I wasn't expecting. So it was wonderful to have that opportunity. And like I said, this is the alchemy, but this is also design and style.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you look at page 41 Really, I just want to hang these. I think there should be a calendar from Chef's Table next year. And, you know, Nick, this is something, I mean, not only are you, have you brought in some incredible photographers for the magazine, but the magazine, when you go through this, this is, and we know you have New York and international experience, but this is wonderful. You continue this on in some other stories towards the back of the book that I love as well, where you talk about Savour is coming back.
Yes, the food festival. So Tammy Gale, who's, again, an amazing personality, and, again, I got to have a great lunch with her and learned about her plans for this year. And I went last year for the first time, and, boy.
We met each other last
year.
That's right. That's our anniversary's that's coming right. up. I hope you're going to judge it. I hope I'm going to judge it this year.
I don't know, but what I'm excited about is I went last year, and it blew my mind. And I thought, we need to do a feature next year, not just party pictures after or whatever. And I said to Tammy at the time, and she made the time to sit down with me. And, you know, it's hard when people are working on these festivals and their details aren't all in place. But they're super excited because this year the chef's competition that you judged last year, and you were so thoughtful and articulate about your feedback. I remember sitting there thinking, wow, this woman knows food. But they're actually making it available to the public this year.
Really?
For the first time, yeah. And they have amazing chefs and restaurants coming in, brands.
Unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you something that's so amazing about this, and that is that she doesn't just do the one in St. Pete. She does one on the other coast. I believe she does one Savannah or Charleston as well. There's another one that she does, or Amelie Island. But here's the thing about Tammy Gale. She is so eloquent. And she works so hard, and it's just, she's a philanthropist as well.
Oh, yeah, her charity, yeah, absolutely. She does a lot of great work. But she also has, and there's a through line with a lot of the people that we interview for the magazine. Tammy has, you know, we talked about Phil Yost the last time I was here in Compass, and I just had lunch with him the other day, but his, you know, energy and positivity, and Tammy has that in spades as well. You know, she's just charged up.
Well, I'll tell you somebody else who's charged up is Jenna Priebe, the former director of the Shine Mural Festival and founder of her new thing, No Good Deeds Art. And she talked to Avery Anderson, the founder of Tampa Bay Arts Passport, about the evolution of the mural scene. What I like about you, Nick, is you have a way of weaving this quilt of content and vision. So tell us a little bit about how this story came about.
So we knew that we were doing a piece on the Shine Mural Festival and talking to Helen French, who recently became the newly appointed executive director of the St. Pete Arts Alliance. And we were super excited about that as well, but there was only so much they could share with us. And again, it was because of the timing where our deadlines are back further than most people. So we wanted to talk with Helen. We did. We got some great information. We were excited that it's all going to be all local artists this year. And then, you know, who better than to talk about the history than Janae? And what she's doing with her own company is super exciting. I recently, it was so funny, I went on one of the trolley tours, the mural trolley tours with Janae. And Vanessa Williams, formerly of the Vinoy, and some other folks were on the trolley just out of coincidence. And we had the best time because she really takes you into the history and she understands the texture of the artist's journey and the way the city evolved. And so her insights are super, super important. And Avery had already written this article for the newsletter. And I read it and I thought, why reinvent the wheel? We'll just go in and re-edit it and we'll talk to them a little bit, changing it around a little bit. So we talked to Janae again one more time and, you know, we just massaged it into place because why duplicate? And I wanted to give a shout out to Avery as well because they are doing an amazing job with their newsletter. And, you know, they're on the every time I put on the TV, they're on talking about events going on around town. That's the thing that's exciting is these people are all stimulating the whole environment, and especially in a time when I know personally I'm saddened by the losses we've experienced in the arts community as far as, you know, the street murals and the funding for Creative Pinellas and all the other things that are happening to threaten our arts city, that you want these people who stimulate and who can bring the positivity to it.
And you do bring positivity to it. I have to say something about this wonderful cover girl. You know, St. Pete Gals, I mean, every issue I learn about a new organization, a new person making a difference in the community. And you particularly highlight the next generation of thought leaders and cultural leaders. I know you do a lot of walking about and a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not necessarily walking about necessarily right now.
Right.
But you do a lot of feet to the street, really looking and digging. Tell us a little bit about your creative process in assembling the cast of characters for each issue.
Well, it's funny because I would say I do a lot of walking about on social media too, but I'm talking to someone who's always on social media, and you do an amazing job of just posting and participating. And I always feel like a shadow compared to you. But what I do is a deep dig. So I observe, I follow, I listen, I look, I read. And what I loved about Alexia, for instance, it was just her energy. I remember a couple of years ago when I first got here and I started following her, and I thought, she's interesting. There's something about this girl that's, she's got a magic and a kind of, and then I met her and I thought, wow, she just is dynamic and amazing. And she told me about her background and I thought, this is fantastic. You know, one of the things that she does is, whether she, because she winds up, she's a content creator and an influencer, and she's a host, and she just signed on to do a radio show actually somewhere. I don't know the details yet. But
darn it, it should have been with us.
I don't know those details, but I know that she's doing it. But whether she's working for a brand or she's participating like she was with us, wherever she is, she's got that camera up, she's creating content, she's joyfully engaging with people, and she's exciting the community. And, you know, that mix you're talking about, so like David Benstock has been here 13 years and he grew up in the community. That's a legacy person for us. Then Alexia is someone who is fairly new to the community like myself, but she's, again, stirring things up. Now, we do get this idea of like people coming and saying like, wow, there are more important people than this to put on your cover. And that's funny to me because none of us should really, you know, sort of have to judge and make the choice of what is. We just want it to be something that feels fresh and matches the vibrancy of the community. You know, someone who was involved with the city and dealing with, you know, the legacy of St. Pete wrote to me today and said, I love your cover and I love that girl. And I thought, well, there you go. That's the nice balance of it.
That's exactly right. And I want to do a shout out to Beth Ann Drake, who is, of course, the publisher and founder of St. Pete Life. And, you know, when it first started, it was buildings and iconic images. And now really what you have done is to bring it down to who are the people who live, work, and play here. So I want to mention a great story, fast forward. You know, the Healthy Foundation for Healthy St. Petersburg makes such a difference in this community in downtown. And you have a story on October 4th that We Run the Streets 5K.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about Dr. Kanika Tomlin, who is the former deputy mayor. It's a little bit about that.
So the amazing thing is Kanika's team is so, again, energized around their goals to create equity across the community in every way. And they're excited about this, and we're excited about it because it's placing an event that we would typically find in downtown St. Pete in an area that we want people to start engaging with. We want to see people on the South Side and participating in this way. The column that they have, or it's, we don't really call them columns anymore, but the space that we give them every month, like you, is to highlight the best of their community. So that's what we want to do, is modulate these different, like you did an incredible piece on some of the hosts and singers, musicians here.
Women of Song at Radio St. Pete. And our Sandy Atkinson has just been nominated for a Best Artist. And, you know, Nick says to me, Nick is the most incredible editor. He massages a weak thought and he just makes a glorious melange when it's done. So thank you, Nick. I want to talk about the St. Pete Yacht Club, which is one of my favorite places, and you have a fabulous story on this.
Well, again, I think, you know, for me, I'd never experienced it before. We went over there recently and met with them and had a chat and a tour and just talked about the things they have going on because, you know, what I was interested in was there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of change happening there and there's a lot of change planned. And what they are looking to do is reimagine the venue for now, for the people who will be part of the next generation of members. And I didn't know, for instance, this is so dumb of me, but I didn't know you didn't have to own a boat or be a yachting
person. I didn't know that. So I could have a rowboat or no boat.
You could have no boat. They're trying to cultivate a culture around the yacht club. And it's really a lovely community of people. We went to a couple of their events and, you know, it's families and it's legacies, but then there's a younger generation of people who are, and this ties into, and we mentioned it in the story, but it ties into a trend nationally of these private clubs where people go to socialize are what are leading sort of how people engage now in community.
Third community, it's called,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right? And
exactly.
And you know, the thing is, I remember the San Diego Yacht Club and going with my editor of my paper and sitting there and saying, this isn't just posh. It is community. It's a community of like-minded people who enjoy the water. And you know, one of the things you don't realize is if you belong to a yacht club, you can go to yacht clubs
all over the world.
Yeah. In St. Bart's, yeah, in Antigua.
London, everywhere.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
amazing.
Lovely people that belong, and they do some great events there, and hats off to that. So what's coming up for November, December?
So we are working on our end of year living and giving issue, and this time we're doing something for the first time that I'm aware of. So you could probably – what I was going to backtrack to what you said earlier. So when the magazine started, Nanette was the editor. And Nanette did a phenomenal job the first year of setting the tone for the magazine. And I actually was looking through some of those issues the other day and enjoying some of the
Soleil.
Yeah, I was enjoying some of those articles. But I always go back. I know this is a strange thing to say, but if I'm working on an end of year issue, I go back to all the end of year issues to see what we did in the past.
Of course you do. Of course you do, Nick.
Well, because I like to track in my mindset, like, how is this a family of, you know, publication? How do we stay within the framework? And I was so proud of the work that you did in that first year, and I thought it was beautiful. But I'm trying to think how we got onto this. But
so this issue is the
living and giving. So we're launching our giving guide for the first time, and it's going to be a curated list of the not-for-profits and community champions who we think need your support. It's not going to be like anything, like the best of. It can't be comprehensive of everyone that's doing great work. It can't be comprehensive of every organization. But what we want to do is build it year after year. I mean, I said to Beth Ann, if one year we wind up with an entire book that is the giving guide, I'd be thrilled to have it just be philanthropy for that, you know, and just recognize the champions in our community.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fur babies alone.
Yeah.
You know, I know that that there's just so much giving in this community. We had Casa here today. I know that you have Casa in the magazine. And there is so much to do. I think that once again, the clarion call to action, Nick, that St. Pete Life makes with you as the editor and creative director, with Beth Ann Drake as the publisher. And you are also cultivating a clan of talented people. And the digital is more beautiful than ever before. As you look to 2026, what do you see happening in this city that excites you?
You know, I'm going to be 1,000% honest with you, because I think there's a lot that I'm hearing. And I think maybe this vantage point of being the editor is that you get so much feedback. And I know that businesses are having a little bit of a struggle right now getting people through their doors. I know that there is a lack of tourism because people are confused about if we're open and we're what I think is going to happen.
We are open, folks. We are open.
You know,
Visit St. Pete Clearwater will be calling you and I up and sending us a dozen dark roses.
No. But I was talking with someone at the chamber, and they were like, we get calls all the time saying, we come in years prior. We just don't know, is it safe to come, or is it a good time to come, or are you still rebuilding?
And no hurricane,
like,
so far.
They're like, come on down. You know, and that's what we want to keep promoting. And I think if we all focus our energy around that, you know, like, there's been a lot of talk recently about different restaurants and establishments that have been around, retail establishments that have closed, but it's cyclical. And I think that what happens in St. Pete is it's always reinventing itself. And I'm looking forward to, like, that next phase of that boom, that next boom that I think will come in the new year.
Well, the boom comes when you open up St. Pete Life magazine, you read the stories. We've had Nick Steele here, our executive editor and creative director. Nick, tell people how they can find you online. People, you need to sign up for the fabulous newsletter and follow them on social. So how can they find you?
So we are at stpetelifemag, M-A-G, dot www.thedesignofdesigns.com. And then you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. I'm always there answering questions from anyone that wants to reach out. You can sign up for our newsletter on either Facebook or on the website. We love to hear from you. We always want to engage. So please.
Can't wait to celebrate the holidays with St. Pete Life Magazine. Nick, thanks for being here with us at Radio St. Pete today.
Thank you.
Love St. Pete Life Magazine.